Chapter 26. Not very long after I, not very long after I became the pastor here, one of the men, he's with the Lord now, and he was really a good man, but he was trying to explain to me the way that I should handle Wednesday night, which was to pick a book and read through a chapter at a time. And a lot of times we do that, and we'll do that this evening, but that just got me to thinking, I sure wish the chapters were all the same amount of material. That would be a lot easier for me if every chapter had the same number of words and the same number of points. So last week we had 18 verses. That was easy. Tonight we have 65 verses. And we are going to pray. And I am just going to read them through uninterrupted and virtually without comment. So let's go together to the Lord. And then we'll read this chapter. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to be mindful of the instruction that is given to us to be attentive to reading, that there is a spiritual benefit and blessing to the public reading of your word. And so help us to not drift and to go off course and to think of other things, but to think of your word and bless our time together in it. Then we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Numbers chapter 26 and verse number 1. It came to pass after the plague that the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saying, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, from 20 years old and upward, throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. And Moses and Eleazar the priest spake with them in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, take the sum of the people from 20 years old and upward, as the Lord commanded Moses and the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt. Reuben, the eldest son of Israel, the children of Reuben, Hanok, of whom cometh the family of the Hanokites, of Palu, the family of the Paluites, of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites, and they that were numbered of them were 43,730. And the sons of Palu, Eliab, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram. This is that Dathan and Abiram which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. The sons of Simeon, after their families, of Nemuel, the family of the Nemuelites, of Jamin, the family of the Jaminites, of Jachin, the family of the Jachinites, of Zerah, the family of the Zarhites, of Shaul, the family of the Shaulites. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. The children of Gad, after their families, of Zephon, the family of the Zephonites, of Haggi, the family of the Haggites, of Shuni, the family of the Shunites, of Ozni, the family of the Oznites, of Eri, the family of the Erites, of Arad, the family of the Aradites, of Areli, the family of the Aralites. These are the families of the children of Gad, according to those that were numbered of them, 40,500. The sons of Judah were Ur and Onan, and Ur and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Judah, after their families, were of Shelah, the family of the Shelonites, of Phares, the family of the Pharzites, of Zerah, the family of the Zarhites. And the sons of Phares were of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Hamul, the family of the Hamulites. These are the families of Judah, according to those that were numbered of them, 76,500. Of the sons of Issachar, after their families, of Tola, the family of the Tolaites, of Pua, the family of the Punites, of Jashub, the family of the Jashubites, of Shimron, the family of the Shimronites. These are the families of Issachar, according to those that were numbered of them, 84,300. Of the sons of Zebulun, after their families, of Sered, the family of the Sardites, of Elon, the family of the Elonites, of Jaleel, the family of the Jaleelites. These are the families of the Zebulunites, according to those that were numbered of them, 70,500. The sons of Joseph, after their families, were Manasseh and Ephraim. Of the sons of Manasseh, of Maker, the family of the Makerites, and Maker begat Gilead, and Gilead of Gilead came the family of the Gileadites. These are the sons of Gilead. Of Jezer, the family of the Jezerites, of Helek, the family of the Helekites, of Asriel, the family of the Asrielites, of Shechem, the family of the Shechemites, of Shemida, the family of the Shemidaites, and of Hepher, the family of the Hepherites. And Zelophehad, the sons of Hepher, had no sons but daughters. And the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mala and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. These are the families of Manasseh, and those that were numbered of them, 52,700. These are the sons of Ephraim after their families, of Shuthelah, the family of the Shuthelahites, of Beker, the family of the Bakrites, of Tahan, the family of the Tahanites. These are the sons of Shuthelah, of Eran, the family of the Eranites. These are the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to those that were numbered of them, 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph after their families. The sons of Benjamin after their families, of Bela, the family of the Belaites, of Ashbel, the family of the Ashbelites, of Ahiram, the family of Ahiramites, of Shupham, the family of the Shuphamites, of Hupham, the family of the Huphamites. Of the sons of Bela were Ard and Naaman, of Ard, the family of the Ardites, and of Naaman, the family of the Naamanites. These are the sons of Benjamin after their families, and they that were numbered of them were 45,600. These are the sons of Dan after their families, of Shuham, the family of the Shuhamites. These are the families of Dan after their families. All the families of the Shuhamites, according to those that were numbered of them, were 64,400. Of the children of Asher after their families, of Jimna, the family of the Jimnites, of Jesui, the family of the Jesuites, of Beriah, the family of the Beriites. Of the sons of Beriah, of Heber, the family of the Heberites, of Malchiel, the family of the Malchielites. And the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah. These are the families of the sons of Asher, according to those who were numbered of them, who were 53,400. Of the sons of Naphtali, after their families, of Jaziel, of the family of the Jazielites, of Guni, the family of the Gunites, of Jezer, the family of the Jezerites, of Shillem, the family of the Shillemites. These are the families of Naphtali, according to their families, and they that were numbered of them were 45,400. These were the number of the children of Israel, 600,730. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance, according to the number of names. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To every one shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot, according to the names of the tribes of their fathers they shall inherit. According to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few. And these are they that were numbered of the Levites after their families. Of Gershon, the family of the Gershonites, of Kohath, the family of the Kohathites, of Merari, the family of the Merarites. These are the families of the Levites, the families of the Libnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Malites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korathites. And Kohath begat Amram. And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam their sister. And unto Aaron was born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. And those that were numbered of them were 23,000, all males from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the children of Israel, because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priests numbered, when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there is not left a man of them save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Well, with this chapter, we really turned the corner towards the end of the book. In fact, many commentators divide the book of Numbers into these two segments set apart by the genealogies. Of course, I've chosen to follow the system that divides the book geographically, which is the way that we've dealt with it in the camp, in the wilderness, and in Moab, which additionally many commentators follow. But a lot of good men divide the book of Numbers into these not quite halves, but into these parallel genealogies. In the book of Romans, Paul is talking about the nation of Israel. And he is looking backward at their history, and he is looking at us, the church. In Romans 11:21, Paul writes to us, "For if God spared not the natural branches, the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." Look at the goodness and the severity of God. Look at God's kindness. And look, Paul says to us, at God's decisiveness. That's his severity, the rigor of following the Lord. And I thought of that, and I read that because that's really the twofold path that we will take over the next few minutes. Numbers chapter 26 reveals to us both the goodness and the severity of God. Now, I'm not saying that Paul ties it back there. I'm saying that I'm taking Paul's statement, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God." And in Numbers 26, we see them both. This census is a census that teaches us, first of all, about the goodness of God. Look back, if you would, at verse number 1. And we're not going to reread all these verses, but there are some noteworthy things that we don't want to miss. They tend to be the kind of things we approach these genealogies, and our natural inclination is to get through them as quickly as possible, if at all. And it came to pass after the plague. God had sent a plague upon the people. This was one of several times that God had dealt, in Paul's language, decisively with people. And yet on the heels of the plague is the count. And the count is twofold. We're going to number the army, and we're going to discover how many Israelites there are who will inherit the land. The promise of the land is not undone by the sinfulness of the people. It has never really hinged upon the good behavior of the people. The promise of the land is anchored in the faithfulness of God. This census is unlike the one in chapter 1. In chapter 1, the census had one purpose. How many soldiers can we gather? This not only sets out how many soldiers, but if you'll jump ahead to verse number 52, this census, as I've already mentioned, is establishing the criteria for dividing the land. The Lord spake unto Moses, verse number 52, saying, "Unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of the names." So we're going to give these people this land, and God has miraculously preserved this people. In census number one, in Numbers chapter 1 and verse number 46, there are 603,550 Israelites. 603,550. 38 years later, there are 601,730. About 1,800 fewer Israelites 38 years later. The number of Levites is almost identical. There's a separate count of Levites because they do not inherit the land and they do not comprise the army. They are mentioned in verse 62. There are 23,000 of them. The first census doesn't count them until a little bit later, but in Numbers 3, verse 43, you are told that the number is 22,273. So in round numbers, 38 years later, we have approximately 2,500 fewer adult males. This is in spite of the number of people who died in the plague that God brought upon them in chapter 11, for which there is no record of death. How many died? We're not told. This does not include the 15,000 that died in the rebellion of Korah. You're told about the 250 here, but there were 14,700 people that died subsequent to that in their sympathizing with Korah and his rebellion. By the way, don't overlook the statement in Numbers 26:10. Notwithstanding the children of Korah died not, God did not exterminate an entire family nor eradicate that line of people. And in fact, the likelihood is when you read Psalms written for the sons of Korah, this is who we're referring to. In Numbers 21:6, in the plague that God brings, we are told simply that much people died. And in Numbers 25, the plague that had just been referenced in Numbers 26, there were 24,000 people who died. This doesn't count for the fact that people died of old age and probably of some disease. This is, by the way, Numbers chapter 25, the last plague in the book. It is the last judgment. The rebellion of Israelites followed by the judgment of God cycle that has been such a large part of the wilderness wanderings comes to an end. So 40 years later, folks, we are witnessing not just yet again another lengthy, boring genealogy. You could look at it that way. I fear that mostly we do. But what you are looking at is a numerical recitation of the faithfulness of God to the people he promised. He had promised that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. And they're going to be a great nation, even if they are primarily a sinful nation. These people are going to the land because God is good, not because they are good. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. But if the census teaches us about the goodness of God, we do not want to mistake that it teaches us also about the severity of God. Mingled throughout the names and numbers are a series of mini sermons. Maybe mini sermon isn't the best way to call it. Bullet points, post-it notes, flags of important information that you do not want to miss. God is good, but God is holy. God is merciful, but God is deadly serious with us. Look back, if you would, at verse number 8, for instance. And the sons of Palu, Eliab, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel and Dathan and Abiram. This is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men. Here's the bullet point. And they became a sign. And they became a sign. They were the flashing lights and the waving red flag. Do not rebel against God. Do not rebel against God's word. This is what might happen to those who rebel, even if they are prominent people within the assembly of the Lord. They became a sign. They became a symbol for all of us. They are a billboard to every generation of believers that God takes obedience to his word seriously. There's another one in verse number 19. The sons of Judah were Ur and Onan, and Ur and Onan died in the land of Canaan. This takes us back to Genesis 38. The evil that Ur was, or the evil that Ur did, is never mentioned. It is just dealt with briskly. Ur was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and God killed him. The evil of Onan is more clearly stated, but is more often misunderstood by the people of God. Onan's sin is not simply sexual gratification. And the force of the Hebrew verb is that Onan kept having relations with this woman and kept repeatedly from endeavoring to conceive a child. But what really is going on, and I'm not in any way defending any form of immorality or fornication, but the great sin of Onan is the way that he is impeding the lineage of Israel in the line of Judah. That's the great sin. The way in which he is doing it is equally sinful. But we don't want to just focus. He's not just a lustful man attempting to avoid the circumstances of a physical relationship. He is a man who is jeopardizing the sacred lineage of Israel as commanded by God. And God killed him. Look at verse number 61. There is another post-it note for our attention. Verse number 60, and unto Aaron was born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. This goes back to Leviticus chapter 10. And of course, if you recall the chronology that we tried to develop, we come out of the wilderness, we build the tabernacle, we set up the tabernacle, and we spend about a year learning how everything is going to work. And in that period of time, the book of Leviticus is written. So it is shortly after we've come out of the land of Egypt, but before we've embarked on the wilderness wanderings, that Nadab and Abihu offer their strange fire. What immediately follows their death in Leviticus 10 is God's injunction for the priests to drink no wine when they perform their duties, which suggests that Nadab and Abihu had gotten all drunked up and took it upon themselves to do some religious offering in the temple that God had not commanded. And they died. And Aaron was really prohibited from any sort of lengthy public mourning for his two oldest sons. not because God is hard-hearted, but because their sin was so egregious. And the expectation was that this is a righteous judgment for people who are lackadaisical about the worship of the Lord. And then you have verses 64 and 65. Behold the goodness of God. He has promised to preserve a people and he has been faithful to that promise. Behold the severity of God. People have died and they have died because God has willfully, deliberately, consciously, publicly, and vocally executed them for their sin. But among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priests numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. So we started out with 603,500 approximately. We end up with 601,000 plus. God has preserved the people. But not one of them, not one of the men that is listed in Numbers 1 is alive in Numbers 26, with two exceptions. Verse 65, for the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. And as we've noted numerous times lately, how quaintly, how satirically God seems to speak of this in 1 Corinthians 10 when he says about these people, but with many of them God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. I don't know. I don't know what the decimal place would look like, 2 out of 603,550. But it's a pretty small fraction of survivors. So the takeaway for us, folks, is to behold the goodness of God. He is faithful to his promise, but he is in dead seriousness when he talks to us about worship and obedience and faithfulness and commitment. And he is ample evidence that he means exactly what he says. All right, that will bring us to the end of chapter 26, if you